Well, it was a warm day today. My. Before you know it, you'll be riding your motorcycle. That right? Amen. How many ride motorcycles? Raise your hand. You don't ride motorcycles. You race motorcycles. Man, there's an old beast over there in my garage that needs to be ridden. I can't ride two at one time, so you need to come over. All right, let's stand to read God's Word tonight. Good to see you folks when I'm out doing things and saying howdy to you. Kind of fun. Curtis, I couldn't get rid of him. I went over to Super One. I was trying to do my grocery shop, and every time I turned around, he's running. I said, you know where everything is at? Trying to find everything for his sweetie. Amen. Good to see Joey back with us. Back from that wonderful Florida warm weather. Amen. Amen. That's pretty nice, wasn't it? Yeah, amen. While all the rest of us were suffering. All right. But we don't have bugs here. All right. Genesis chapter 3. I keep telling myself that. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, right? Who's the angel? The preacher, the man of God, all right. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels, his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon his name, write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father. In his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, I ask you tonight, as we look into the Word of God, that this would be a help, an encouragement, and a blessing to our folks. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you love us, and thank you so much you care for us. Now, Lord, speak to us as we look in chapter 3 of the Revelation. You promised, Lord God, that you would bless us if we read it. You promised you would bless us if we hear it. And Lord God, you said that you bless us if we keep it. Lord God, please help us tonight that we would keep this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Letter of the churches, 7 of them, Asia Minor. The book of Revelation is the promised blessings that he has for us. Author is the Holy Spirit of God. The writer is the beloved Apostle John. Written around 96 A.D., written at the island of Patmos, written for the information of things to come, and written to the 7 churches of Asia Minor. All of us need to know this. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. We're entering into an era in our world that is so unprecedented. It's incredible what's going on in our world today. The people brag on things that are bad, and they mock the things that are good. They do not practice justice or judgment. And I don't know about you, but as a born again Christian, I love justice and judgment. I love it. I wrote a letter today to someone, and I told him, I said, because of certain things that people do. Of course, God forgives you immediately. Amen. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, but in our country, in our world, there's consequences for doing wrong, and we have to pay for those consequences. And so we're looking today, and people seem like they're getting away with murder. They're getting away with things that how in the world can that be? You see people getting some of the highest honors in America why are they getting it? You just kind of wonder. We're kind of dummy downing the wonderful aspects of our country. And I don't know about you, it bothers me. It really does. It really bothers me. It bothers me that see the fact that, people are not held to the high standards anymore. But the Lord Jesus Christ said these days are going to come. And so why should we be surprised? We have people that, Jesus said, hey, when I come, will I find faith? There are people who don't even have faith. They can't even trust the Lord God. And it's an incredible thing. So I guess the question I'd ask you tonight, why should this surprise us? Because the Lord is coming back. He says these things are going to happen. So why should it surprise us? I'm going to the first one here in chapter 3, verse 1. And the angel of the church of Sardis. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Chapter 1, verse 2, we know that the seven stars are the angels, and the angels are the messengers of the pastors. Notice the close association of the Holy Spirit and the pastors. We desperately need Spirit-filled pastors today. We desperately need Spirit-filled men of God to stand behind the pulpits today. There are so many opportunities to falter. There's so many opportunities to just let it go. But, I've been at it long enough to know that you let it go, you'll pay you someday. There's a price to pay if you let things go. Notice the close association of that Holy Spirit. When the church calls a pastor, they should ask, of course, about their education. They should ask about their manners. They should watch their manners and their personality. But the main thing you should be noticing is the Holy Spirit of God upon that man. Do you see the Spirit of God working in his heart and his life? Does God move him to tears? Does God move him to stand for that which is right and to go against that which is wrong? Does the Holy Spirit in his heart and his life to the fact that he's willing to tell somebody that they're wrong and going against the principles of the Word of God? We got a lot of, the Bible says, I was just reading in Timothy, it talks about this, that we got a lot of people that they heap on themselves, people with itching ears. You know, they want to hear just what they want to hear. They don't want someone come up there and confront them of something that is not right, is biblical. You ought to thank God for that. You'll need that. We all need that. Thou hast a name that thou livest. Look at what it says, and art what? Dead. That's strange, isn't it? What a pity. A church had a good name, turned in good reports, had fine reputation, they baptized people, they grew. But the Bible says they were dead. And he says in next verse, he says, be watchful. Be watchful. One of the fastest things to wake up a dead church is to get the members to watching for Jesus to come. No church is a dead church to realize that Jesus Christ is coming soon. The two just can't go together. A dead church and a church that's looking for Jesus Christ coming. No more is it when a child is left home to do something and he knows his parents are coming home, he takes care of it. Amen. By the way, you cannot be very watchful if you believe that the world must be converted before Jesus can come. That's an untruth. Jesus is going to come back. When God tells Jesus it's time, Gabriel's going to blow that horn, and that's it. It's over. And we have no idea when that day is going to be. And so therefore, I don't know about you, but I want to be faithful when Jesus comes back. I want to be serving God when he comes back. I want God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear God say, well, where were you at? What are you doing? The third thing, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. In other words, God is saying, save the remains. The remains of many churches could be set on fire and the church could be revived. If it doesn't happen, you might as well have a funeral service for that church and bury the remains of it. We're to be out telling the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to stand for the things of the Word of God. Then he says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. The word perfect means mature. In other words, the folks of this church were not doing mature work for Jesus Christ. Mature works are soul winning and praying and preaching and studying the Word of God. Why do you need to have so many new things for folks today? When you haven't even done the first ones, a man said. God gave us things to do. We ought to be getting doing it. We need to be telling people about Jesus Christ. Verse 3, and remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. The church had received the truth. That's how they started. And but they left it. And God tells them, hold on to that what you had. Get back to it. Get back to it. Then he says in it says, therefore thou shalt not watch. I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. What does a thief do? They come in to steal. And the greatest deal will be that Jesus steals us away to carry us into the skies and let us keep looking for Jesus every day unless we're not ready for His coming. How do you want to meet Jesus? How do you want to meet Jesus? That's what He's saying. Saying in Revelation, well, how do you want to meet Him? Then he says, verse 4, he says, thou hast a few names. There were just a few left who loved God, who won souls, who came to the prayer meetings, who loved the Word of God. Their greatest sin was staying in Sardis. They did not believe that God wanted one of their children to freeze to death in a dead church. Even if it was grandma's old church, get out of that old dead church. Get into the church and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he's telling them. Get out. And he says, even in Sardis, what a statement. Even in Sardis, there were some who loved him. Even at Sardis. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. How do we become worthy? We accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Everything we do glorifies our Heavenly Father. It's not worthy because we, well, look at what I've done. It's the Christian way of saying, look at what He done. For thou art worthy. These are those who are going to be stolen by Jesus while the dead ones are going through the tribulation. We will be walking in white with Jesus. Boy, I'm glad about that. Amen. I'm glad I know Jesus, my Savior. I talked to a fellow the other day. I said, if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. He said, I don't know. I said, it's a pretty dangerous time of the world that we live in today. They don't know if you die today, you go to heaven. People die. I don't know how many people died in Great Falls the last 2 weeks. It's incredible. Incredible how many people died in Great Falls last week. I was over talking to Ed, and here comes another lady in. Dan Newman's, y'all remember Dan and Lynn Newman's, anyway, their daughter came in and said, oh, Pastor's here. And she started crying. I said, what? What's going on? She said, my mama died last night. And, you know, just on and on and on and on. And we want to be ready. And there's people dying out there. And we want them to tell them about Jesus Christ. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't care the meanest, orneriest person in this world, I don't want him to go to hell. I want him to go to heaven, amen. So he says, in verse 5, he says, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. God has a book of names of every man. I've heard some history about the books of citizenship, like in Rome. And if there was somebody, everybody's name was written in that book. But if somebody did something really great or very special, they would actually edge their name with gold in the book. And it kind of, quote unquote, highlighted that. But they'd also take out names, they would blot out the names of those who were desperate prisoners. Pretty interesting. You know, all our names are written in a book. But God gives us that book of life that our names will be found when we get to heaven. Boy, it would be a terrible thing to get to heaven and judge the great white throne judgment. The Bible says that He's going to look, going to see if our names are in the book of life. And if our name is not found in the book of life, what happens to Him? Cast in the fire that burneth forever and ever and ever. Boy, I hope your name's in the book of life. You can fake it. You can
You can fake it to the preacher. You can fake it to the evangelist. You can fake it to anybody. But I'll tell you something. If your name's not in the book of life, that's the most important thing. It doesn't make a difference with the pastor it is or not. Make a difference your friends or not. Boy, what a terrible. If your husband goes to hell, your wife goes to hell, your children go to hell because they never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. What a sad deal. What a sad deal. But I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. Thank God Jesus is going to confess my name. He will confess you too if you've confessed Him before men. That was that church. Now, the church of Sardis. Now we get to the church of Philadelphia. This is kind of a good church. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? Verse 7. The word Philadelphia means brotherly love. This was the church of believers who loved each other. Boy, how refreshing in a day when many churches are splitting into two and lack of love. Let's keep loving each other, amen? Let's keep looking after each other. Let's look around and see some folks. Maybe they're not here. Pray for Brother Clyde. He hurt his back today, very bad. And he said, "Preacher, I just can't come." He said, "I can't even get out of bed." Pray for these folks. Pray for Tiffany Moore. God will heal that foot of hers, amen. And there's just so many people that are just having a tough time in this old world. We need to be thinking of them. We need to be praying for them, amen. Let's keep loving each other. People who love God can tell when people walk in a church, and they can tell whether people love each other or not. They can tell it. You can tell it. Boy, I'll tell you what, I've been in a lot of churches, and I'll tell you what, some churches, I want to tiptoe through the tulips to get out of there, amen. Pretty scary. You know, it's just, man, oh man, do you really love these people, you know? He that openeth and no man shutteth, God reminds us them that there's a door that's left open. He is the one who will do it. It sounds, if souls constantly walk the aisle, if God who keeps the door open, not also when God opens the door, no man can shut it. Praise God. No human enemy can bother a church when God keeps the door open. We need to pray that God's power upon our lives, power upon our church, that God keeps it open. Amen. Then he says, and shutteth, no man openeth. When God so desires, when He withdraws the power from the church, He closed the door. A noted pastor said that a man told him recently that his church was growing and the folks were visiting, but no one was walking the aisle. Brother, it is God alone who can open and shut the door. Many churches have the door shut and could not reopen them. They can try all kinds of new kinds of things to do. Boy, oh boy, that's a tough deal. Same is true of denominations and individual Christians. Their hearts are closed. They don't want to do anything with God. They don't want to study the Word of God. They're so busy doing their little thing. They spend more time on their cell phone and doodads and whatever. They hardly read their Bible anymore. They hardly pray anymore. But boy, they certainly got time for first thing to get up and do in the morning is make sure they haven't missed a message on Facebook or haven't missed a telephone call. Boy, that's sad. That's really sad. I was reading over some old outlines that I had, and one of the outline I drew a picture of it was a skunk, and he's laying in a hammock, and his Bible was laying beside him. He was sleeping, and Z's going up, amen. And I said, it's a sad thing that we forget the Word of God. We just we go to God and we read our Bible because we know we have heaven at that time to read God's Word. You know, we gotta do it every day, duty, 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 instead of realizing that God already knows what He says in the Bible. God already knows that. It's for us. It's a love letter to me. It's a love letter to you. And we need to be reading it. You say, "But Pastor, I don't have much time." I understand that. I understand if you got kids at home. I understand that you got to have the breakfast, dinner, and supper, and the dishes all washed, and the house all cleaned, and and you got to come to church, and you got this and that, and you got to make sure you go grocery shopping, and got to go to school, and get the kid out of detention, and all that other stuff. I understand that. But still, there's got to be a time that you got to spend time in the Word of God. If you miss that time, you missed it. You don't get it back. It doesn't come back again. I'll tell you what, you listen to this preacher. If I don't get my Bible reading in the morning, if I don't spend my time with the Lord, I'm telling you what, I have a drastic time to try to catch up. Hard time. Man, sometimes up half the night and you're tired, and man, first time you do, you're sleeping in Jesus, amen. You're drooling on your Bible, you know. You can't look. Don't look at my Bible. I'm trying not to drool on this new one, but you got to get that Word of God. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. Get it in your heart. You've got to have it. I'm telling you what, you're going to fail. You're going to wither away. Your strength is going to be weakened if you do not get the Word of God. Hey, you don't have to read 14, 15 books of the Bible every morning. My suggestion is get a place you like to read and just enjoy reading over it just a little bit. Read over it and think about it. Think what God's trying to tell you. Try to find Jesus in that book, in that verse. Try to find the encouragement. I don't know about you, but boy, I sure like those Psalms. Psalms get us through some pretty tough times, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, wonderful portion of Scripture. Read over it. Ephesians 2, get over those things, amen. I was reading Revelation today. Man, I was just having a good time just reading Revelation. You say, but Pastor, I just can't remember it all. It's kind of like Grandma Siv sometime. Grandma used to have a sieve. It was kind of like someone took a screen door and just made a round half bowl out of it. And vegetables. And she'd spray water in it. You know, that thing never caught a bit of water. But it sure washed them old bugs off, amen, of the cauliflower. Huh? Yeah. You know, sometimes we just, they call it a colander. Is that what they call it? Sometimes we just, the Bible can be our colander, amen. Just let the water of the Word wash us, amen. Speak to our hearts. Some people say, you make some decisions in your heart and your life that this is where I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do, I don't care what it is. Then you start reading the Word of God, and the Word of God says, this is what the Bible said. And you say, I don't like that. Well, read again. Remember that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that put that in there. There's a real good reason why He did that. Amen. He says, behold, I have set before thee an open door. This door has an open. It's open. Notice three reasons why it's open. They had little faith. They had kept the Word of God. And they had not denied Jesus' name. The reason the doors of a spiritual power have been closed in many churches is that they cease to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. This is the greatest tool. It is the greatest thing in the world. It is God's living Word to you. You can't get anything greater than that. You can't get anything powerful than that. The Bible is the Word of God. Many people do not preach the Word anymore. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They do not believe that the Bible is essential for salvation. They do not believe the other fundamentals of the faith. God have mercy on our generation of so-called churches today. The rock and roll, the country western churches. Talked to somebody the other day. He said, man, I can't stand it. I said, why is that? He said, I went to a place. I listened to music for 2 hours, and then the pastor got up and said a few little things and dismissed us. No, the Bible said we're to preach the Word of God. That's why we're come to the church. We're supposed to preach the Word of God. Exhort, rebuke, and all long-suffering. It is our responsibility to preach this Word of God. Verse 9, judging from these verses, this church was a small church. In this verse, Jesus promised that there shall be a day when the false churches will have to fall down and worship the true church and admit their error. Verse 10, the key word here, it means out of. Verse 10, look at here, it says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, or keep you out of temptation. The great tribulation is going to last 7 years. When Satan is turned loose, and the greatest of all wars and famines are going to take place. We'll be speaking about that in a few weeks. This false teacher that all real churches will take out of this verse teaches that all the real churches, the people that have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, will be taken out of that time. Praise God. Just like Noah was taken out of the time of the flood. And he's going to take us out before that tribulation period. Note the word keep. It means to guard. Jesus is guarding us from the coming tribulation. You know, that blesses my heart. I think of these little ones that are around us. And boy, we certainly want them to know Jesus as their Savior. Amen. And we want them to go to heaven. Amen. That's why we run those buses every Sunday. We want to, as many kids as we can, people know about Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 11, behold, what did he say? Behold, I come quickly. And no stopping it. He's coming. The word take has this idea of received. Receive what? The crown. That no man take thy crown. You're going to receive a crown. They can't take it. There's a crown that's given to loving the appearing of Jesus Christ. I hope I'm going to get that crown. I hope I'm looking for Jesus to come back. Hey, that's a pretty easy crown to get, amen? Huh? Lord, I'm looking for your coming. I've told you that story many times. The shepherd's home over in Wisconsin. And all those edible slow children over there. Every morning they get up and they look out the window and they see any clouds. And they'll say, Jesus may come today. Jesus may come today. And when they wake up in the morning and there are no clouds, they say, Jesus will come today. Hey, I think they're going to get the crown. I think they're going to get the crown. They're looking for his return, amen. Verse 12, it talks about the pillar. We may have much strength. We may not have much strength here, but we shall be pillars there. My, what bodies we shall have as strong as the pillar in the temple of God. Wow. You know, I don't know about you, but these old bodies are, they're not made to last very long, amen. They got some problems. Poor old Clyde, man, he can't even get out of bed tonight. That old body is, you couldn't call old Clyde a pillar tonight, amen. Maybe a caterpillar, amen. But he's hurting. Some of you guys know about hurt. Some of you ladies know about hurt. You know, I know Mrs. Moore has been through a lot. Curtis has been through an awful lot of pain. I know a lot of people have been through a lot of pain. And boy, I'll tell you what, pain is not a good thing, is it, Bernice? Not a good thing. Pain's not a good thing. I don't like pain. I know you rough guys say, well, what do they call it when you have pain? That's just getting the sissy out of you or something like that. I can't remember how this goes, you know. But I don't like pain. I like to feel good. I don't like the aches and pains and the old bones that are tired and hardened. Hey, but I want to strong. I want to feel good. You know, I want to be active. I want to be able to run around. Hey, amen. Then he says, he shall go no more out. Vacations end, the weekends end, the honeymoons end, but there will be no leaving in heaven. No goodbyes. Hallelujah. No goodbyes. I'm going to close there. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight to look for that day. There's no